I'm sure that you've heard it, Revelations 3:20.
Amen.
One of the verses that we learned when we were little. Amen. My dad, I don't know if he's going to show up or not. Amen. He's not coming. Amen. But my dad used to have us learn these verses, and this is one of the ones that he had us learn. Revelations 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Revelations 3:20. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Let us pray. God, we thank you, Lord, today for all that you're going to do. We ask, God, that, Lord, that you would continue to dwell with us. You have dwelt during the morning session, God. Bless the man of God as he delivered the word.
Yeah, that's right.
God, we ask, Lord, that you would bless this service, continue to bless it.
Yes,
Lord, I ask that you would hide me behind your cross, that I may speak words of encouragement, inspiration. God, we ask, Lord, that you would find a hiding place for that which we shall say. Guide my lips and my mouth, God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, this is our prayer, and we ask it now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may take your seats. Today, I just wanted to just talk with you about I hear a knock at the door. Coming from your theme, amen. I thank God for your theme. I hear a knock at the door. My grandmother passed on now. On many occasions said that good manners can take you places that money, fame, or fortune can't take you. I'd like to also add education to that as well. And as we have gotten older, we have learned that this adage is true. You need to have good manners, no matter where you are, no matter what level that you achieve, you need to have good manners. There's folks who are in leadership positions, but they don't have good manners.
Amen.
And good manners make a difference. One of the indicators of a person who has good manners is a person who learns how to knock on the door to gain permission to enter, especially if it's closed. My mother and father used to say all the time, "Knock, boy, before you come in." And we learned the hard way that knocking was important to enter. It is one of the principles of good manners. Don't bust into the room, because you could regret it.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
In actuality, this principle applies in most situations, whether it be doors or not. Knocking is always done or has been done by hitting your knuckles against the door. But knocking can also be politely requesting permission to speak by raising your hand.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a form of knocking.
Yeah.
Or asking someone if you can move into their private space. Excuse me, can I sit next to you? Or it could be inviting someone as they come into your presence, may I be of service to you, politely knocking. And so we find that sometimes knocking real hard, like a police is at the door, you will find that type of knocking. And then you might have the knocking that indicates that there's some urgency, and it knocked multiple times. Pop, 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 pop. And so it calls you to come quickly to the door. Now, there's some folks who like to knock on the door with their head, with their feet. Amen. Those folks, praise God, amen. I really don't like to have knocking on the door. Especially if they're knocking using their head.
That's right.
But still, it is a request to gain entry.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And so in our text, which is the last book of last book in the Bible called Revelations, it's a prophetic book. A book that talks about the end times.
Yeah, yeah.
It speaks to what can be expected by those who are alive and have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. And for those who have taken the mark of the beast.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Preach it, son.
That's what Revelations is talking about. And there are some dreadful woes in store for those who fit those categories. But before they get to the end times and these dreadful woes, there are messages that are given to the churches, the seven churches of Asia, including the church of Laodicea, which is where our text is found. And the Spirit of God says that I know thy works, that thou art lukewarm. Now we know that verse. He'd rather you be hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, he wants to spit you out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And he says to them that because you have increased in your goods, you do not know your spiritual condition. They don't know their spiritual condition because they don't think they need anything, because they got everything that they believe they need. But the Spirit of God declares unto them that they are wretched, miserable,
yeah,
poor,
yeah,
blind,
yeah,
and naked. And as he admonishes the church of Laodicea, he provides several remedies to correct this behavior. Thinking you got it going on when you really don't have nothing going on. When your standards are based on what the world says you should have instead of what God says you should have. And so the first thing that the Spirit says to this church of Laodicea is that buy gold that is pure and tried by fire.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Gold is the most precious element that we have here in the world today. But gold does have impurities. And you have to put it under the fire. You got to put it on some hot fire as well. Just can't light your stove and put it over there and expect something to happen. But you got to have some heat that will cause the impurities to come out of. And what the Spirit is saying is that you got to live holy before God.
That's right.
And to live holy means that you have to be close to God. And when you're close to God, what happens is those impurities in your spirit, those impurities in your mind and in your heart begin to melt away.
That's right.
And then he also says that you need to buy some raiment, which says that you need to cover yourself with holiness. Now, he continues by saying that those that he loves, he chastens. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful to know that when you are chastened, God loves you?
Yeah.
He's not going to let you go out in the midst of wherever you want to go and do what you want to do. And he not bring you back. Amen. And let you know you're going the wrong direction.
Oh, yeah.
But God loves those, amen, who he chastens.
Yes.
And so he wants us to repent of our attitudes and behaviors. This is what he's saying to the Laodicean church. Repent, brothers and sisters. Why? Because I'm standing at the door and knocking. And so my first point is this. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite commercials with Sprint. The guy used to say, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yeah.
The word of the Lord says that all may hear the knock, but not adhere to the knock. They may hear the knock, but they're not going to the door and opening the door and letting the Lord in. Mm-hmm. Everybody has the opportunity to do so. Everybody, God says, everybody has that opportunity. But you know what? There'd be a whole lot of people who are not going to take that opportunity. They make a decision that they're going to live by their own lust. And some hear the knock, but see, the Spirit of God don't knock loud. The Spirit of God does not butt his head against the door. The Spirit of God does not kick the door, but he knocks very softly. You got to be in tune with the Spirit of God so that you can hear the knock. Your heart got to be in a certain place so that you can hear the Spirit of God. You see, praise God, there's some, praise God, who want to go according to their own lusts. They're not going to hear the knock. But the Spirit of God is knocking softly and consistently. He don't just knock one time and say, that's all that I'm going to do. But he keeps on knocking. You're not going to have a reason when you stand before God to say that, well, you know, I didn't hear the knock. Oh, yeah, well, you heard the knock, but you didn't want to open the door. There's going to be some, praise God. I just want to make it kind of down to where we are today. Some of them want to have earplugs in their ears. Mm-hmm. We was doing career day just a couple of days ago. And we found young kids in school with earplugs on, listening to music when they ought to be trying to learn something. Because you can't have both things at the same time. You can't hear somebody talking and listen to what's going on through your earplugs. You gotta make a decision which one you're going to listen to. And you know, if you got your earplugs in your ear, you made a decision that you're not going to listen to what somebody is talking in front of you. So they have these earplugs on. The world's noise is more important, more intoxicating, more desirous than the knock of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Some hear the knock for years, But they decide not to answer. Though it's the answer that they've been seeking. See, they've been looking everywhere for an answer, but the answer is right in front of them. You ever seen that before? The answer is before them. They're looking for a life of true love, of joy, and of peace. And they've been looking everywhere in the world for it. But God says, I'm knocking on the door to provide it to you. You might say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't have no joy, no peace, no love. Well, you keep on serving the Lord. And you keep on magnifying his name. You keep on glorifying his name. You keep on letting the Lord know that, amen, you are first Lord. And you'll start seeing, amen, as pure gold becomes purer, things dropping off you, amen, out of your spirit, so that you can have joy, peace, and love. Some are searching. They hear a different knock. And they get a different answer. Yeah. Some have been knocking and they end up with drugs and alcohol. Yeah. Some becoming oblivious to those things around them. You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to preach in a minute. Some are knocking on the job, becoming workaholics, working incessantly, trying to get ahead. Don't realize that God is the one that promotes. But they want to keep on working. Some, praise God, are knocking on the door to have finer things of the world. And some, praise God, are knocking on the door for completing and competing with others for the biggest house and the biggest car and the biggest this and the biggest that. There's some that are knocking on the door for relationships other than the relationship with God. In any case, whatever they've been knocking on the door for, the door they've been knocking on is the void of God. So the question is, did or are you hearing the knock? And if you answer the knock, then what? That's my second point. If you answer the knock, then what? The Bible says in Matthew 7:7-8, amen, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. For everyone that asketh shall receive, and everyone that seeketh shall find, and everyone that knocketh, the door shall be open. But those that can hear the knock and answer the door find that Jesus is incredible. They find that Jesus is remarkable. They find that Jesus is marvelous. Amen. I want you to know that though you open the door and you find that Jesus is such an awesome God. And that, amen, that all things work together for the good for them that love God and called according to his purpose. I want you to know that it's going to require some work. You're going to have to get busy serving the Lord. It's going to require some sacrifice. Everything not going to be able to come to you. You're going to have to put some things aside. I don't hear nobody saying nothing, but I want you to know that, you know what, there's some things that you're going to have to lay aside that you have been enjoying for a long time. When you begin to serve the Lord, and when you hear the knock and you ask Jesus to come in,
You're going to have to turn some things down. It's going to require some commitment. You're going to have to, praise God, come to church when you don't feel like it. You're going to have to do some work when you don't feel like it. You're going to have to, praise God, to hear somebody talk about their problems so that you can introduce Jesus to them. You might not feel like doing it, but it's a commitment that you ask for God. And finally, you're going to have to be faithful. You're going to have to be faithful unto God.
Faithful.
Yeah.
Faithful.
When it's time to go, you're going to have to be ready to go.
Yeah.
You just can't decide, oh, well, today I'm not going.
No,
but you're going to have to show up whatever way you can get there and be ready for battle, ready to work, ready to do, ready to be, ready to stand, ready to say, I am, amen, a child of the Most High God. I'm going to do my job. God has called me. Half of mine is away. Called me from the beginning of time. I didn't know it, but I showed up ready to do work for the Lord. So the Lord gives every person the opportunity not only to hear the knock, but to do some knocking on our own. Anybody ready to do some knocking? Isn't it wonderful to knock on the door of some brothers and sisters who don't know who Jesus is? Oh, I know that we're only doing a physical knock because Jesus is the only one that can come in and sup with them. But we're the ones who do the introduction. We're the one who knock on doors. And sometimes it's literal, sometimes it's figuratively. But we begin to knock on their conscience. We begin to talk to them in a way that they can understand that the life you live could be a whole lot better if you would just open up your heart and allow God to come in. You wouldn't have to go through the things that you go through if you would just allow Jesus to step on in and take residence and take the driving from you. You no longer need to be in control when you have Jesus at the helm. You don't have to go back and try to figure out whether or not you should go left or right, because Jesus knows the way. He understands the way that we must go. Sometimes, praise God, we knock on the door, amen, not necessarily to say something, but we knock on the door by the way we live. Oh, when you walk, praise God, recognize that there's something different about you. They recognize that you're from a different place. They realize that your agenda is not the same as all the others. They realize and understand that you got something, an answer to their problem. Just by telling them about who Christ is. You know, just coming to church is knocking on the door. Your neighbors see you every Sunday. They try to act like they don't see you, but your neighbors every Sunday see you going to church. Your friends know that you're going to church. And they know, no need calling them now. They in church. They praising the Lord. Your co-workers know on Monday morning that
Sunday you've been in church. You might not even have a job yet. You might not have ascended to being an usher or singing on a choir. You just come to church and sit, amen, and they know that you are going to church. These folks around this area here see you coming to church.
Amen.
Just that is a knock on their conscience. Because they see you going to church and they say to themselves, I'm not going to look at them because you know what? Amen. I don't want to go to church. But you know the Lord is still knocking. They're knocking because some of them, praise God, God has called them.
Yeah.
They might not come to this church. They might go to a church across the way, but God is knocking on their door and causing them to make a change within them. Spirit of the Lord is causing them to true response by repenting,
yeah,
and asking God to pardon them for their sins. Those who have answered the door have said, come in. So let's get busy, because my life has gotten better just because I allow the Spirit of the Most High God to be in me. It used to be the enemy in me. Now it's the God in me. It's the God in me. Yeah! I don't have the same issues no more. Brother man, he can say what he wants to say, but I'm not paying attention no more. Sister girl might say this or that. My boss may say this or that. Whatever happens, I don't care, because God is in control.
Yeah.
And so, when you have answered the knock and allowed the Spirit of the Lord into your life, and now you're working for the Lord, and now you're touching souls and lives and spirits that are around you, people begin to look and ask and begin to say and come and get some little counseling and try to figure out what to do and what have you. There comes a question. What can I expect from God because I have answered the knock? And that's a good question. Peter had the same question when Jesus was talking about the eye of the needle and how the camel coming through the eye of the needle. And he says something that they have never heard before. He said that rich folks don't automatically get into heaven. Just because you got money don't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you got billions of dollars don't mean you can buy your way into heaven. He says that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven.
Yeah.
Hear me now, because we always analyzing these movie stars and actors and singers and sports athletes and political people who seem to have it going on. But the Bible says that it's going to be easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than it is for the rich people to get into heaven. Yeah. You know what the eye of the needle is? It's just, praise God, where the doors, amen, of the gate, praise God, of the city have been closed. And somebody comes a little bit later, amen, and wants to get into the city. They have a little door, amen, that they open up rather than opening up the gate. Amen. And what would happen is that when the camel came, amen, they would have to offload their goods and so that the camel could creep through the door. Called it the eye of the needle. It has the camel came through and they brought all the goods. Amen. Everybody knew what that was. And they were amazed. They said, what? You gotta be kidding me. Rich people not going straight to heaven. And so Peter asked this question. Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What can we expect? And Jesus said to them, praise God, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, you got a job. Uh-huh. You got a job. Peter, you got a job. The disciples, you got a job. Those of them that forsook all to serve God, you have a job. But you know what? What about us? Praise God. And the Bible says in Revelation 3 and 21, he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I don't know if you're part of the church of Laodicea, but I take, praise God, that word and apply it to my life, and I declare that, amen, I'm going to be sitting with God. Amen. I'm going to be with Jesus wherever he goes. Amen. And I'm going to be on the throne right with him, even as I also have overcome and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. So he says, oh, wait a minute, you go where I'm going. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want to be with the disciples. Their mission sounds a little static to me. They're just going to have the 12 thrones and they're going to be judging. I'm going to be with Jesus. And where Jesus go, that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
And wherever he does, that's what I'm going to be doing. And I'm going to be going wherever he goes. If he's on the right hand of the Father, I'm going to be there. If he's down there with the disciples, I'm going to be there. Because I'm a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. I, praise God, have given my all. Am I right about it? Is there anybody in the house on today that has given their life to the Lord and declared, amen, that whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to do it? Yeah, well, that's you. God says you can be a part of the bride of Christ, going wherever he goes, and you can stand and seek wherever he sits. Oh yeah.
Amen.
I'm almost finished.
Amen.
But I want you to know that there's a reason why you answered the knock.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't by happenstance.
Yeah.
Amen.
It wasn't, praise God. You locked up.
Yeah.
You just happened to hear the knock.
Yeah.
Oh, no. God had declared that you were going to answer the door.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about you, but somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Ah, give God some praise for choosing me. If he chose you, come on, shout hallelujah. Because when he chose you, the time that you are going to answer the knocker had already been etched in stone in the Lord's mind. So that when you came and walked up to the pastor, gave him your hand, gave the heart to God, God already knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it wasn't God already understood.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Who he was selecting. You've been selected. You've been selected.
Yes.
Oh, nobody seems to be too excited about that.
No, no.
But you've been selected to be in the kingdom of God. And so,
thank you, Lord.
Not only am I expecting great things when I get my reward, but I'm expecting blessings while I'm living here on the earth.
Amen.
You know, it's something about when you are walking with God. And the enemy tries to come to steal your joy. The Bible says that he dwells in the secret place of the Most High, and you dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, he might come to steal, kill, and destroy, but he can't find you so that he can take it. God says, because you have made the sacrifice, you will be blessed beyond measure. That you have a window opened in heaven, that he will pour out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive.
Hallelujah.
I can't.
Thank you.
You know, I got big hands and I got long arms. But you know what? I can't catch all those blessings. When I think about how God has blessed me over the years. I'm not a young man, but as I look back over my life, and I look back and I see what the Lord has done. And I can only say, thank you, Lord. Some of the issues that I had in my life were because I allowed the enemy in and to steal my joy. But as I have been walking with the Lord and making the Lord my first and my only, I would have had a life, praise God, of no issue. But it was God who brought me out. It was God whose mercy and grace that I've received, that I might run a race before God. A race that I don't have to worry about the finish line. I don't have to worry about having to win it. All I've got to do is run. And God will take care of everything else. I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to believe what the enemy is saying. But I'm going to press forward to the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm not going back. Going forward, I'm believing God that no matter what he does, they're going to be alright. Do I have a witness in the house? Is there a witness? Is there a witness in the house? Has anybody made up their mind that you know what, I'm going forward? Do what thou wants me to do.
I want to hear these two words. Just two words. Well done. Well done. Well done. My good and faithful servant. Yeah. Well done.
Hallelujah.
When I get to heaven, when I walk through the pearly gates, I want him to say, well done, Jesse Clay. I don't know. The Bible declares that there are mansions in heaven. And I got a mansion with my name on it. All because I took the knock and I opened the door. And he came in and he supped with me. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Oh.